Welcome to the daily portion of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will have three commandments. Positive commandment number 3, the commandment to love God. Positive commandment 4, to have fear or awe of God. And positive commandment number 9, the commandment of Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify God's name. Positive commandment number 3 is the commandment of Avas Hashem, to love God, as stated in the second verse of the Shema, V'yahavtes Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem your God. However, as the Rambam learns, we cannot say that the commandment is literally to love God. As explained many places in Chassidus, there cannot be a commandment on a feeling. How can you command someone to love? The Rambam learns here that the commandment is to meditate upon the greatness of God, to observe and look at the wonderful creations that he has made, the wondrous quality of his commands and all of the mitzvahs. And from this, we will automatically have a tremendous understanding of godliness. An understanding of godliness automatically brings tremendous enjoyment. And with this tainug, with this tremendous infinite enjoyment, we will eventually automatically come to love. The commandment here, therefore, is not to love. The commandment is to think. The commandment is meditation and study and an intense thinking, an intense meditation, until we bring ourselves to a tremendous understanding and a tremendous enjoyment of godliness, which will automatically lead us to have love of God. The Rambam derives this from the Sifri, which quotes the verse, V'yahavtes Hashem Elokecha, and asks, but how can you come to love God? How can you bring oneself to that? And the Sifri answers that the next verse answers that. The next verse in Shema says, "Vahoyu hadvorim ha'ela," that these words, "Asher anoichi mitzav chayim," that I command you should today, shall be upon your heart. That when you will study the words of Torah and meditate on the ideas of the oneness of God and so on, from this you will come to recognize the one who created the world. Meaning, as the Rambam learns here, that from learning about the greatness of God and studying His Torah and so forth, you will automatically come to recognize God, which will automatically bring with it necessarily a love of God. And as the Alter Rebbe stresses, as quoted in Shnei HaMa'ares from Isaac Hamelit, the Alter Rebbe once said the commandment here is strictly and solely the meditation, the thinking. The love which comes afterwards is not even part of the commandment. It is in fact irrelevant, so to speak, to the commandment. That since a feeling is not something you can command, God did not command us to have the feeling. He commanded us to work and meditate on things which should automatically bring us to the feeling. However, the commandment is this meditation and thought process, and not the love itself. There is a second aspect of this commandment to love God, which the Rambam quotes in Sefer HaMitzvahs. And this is if we would think, by way of example, into how we would express our love towards a person. One of the things you would do is express your love in the eyes of everyone else. If you have love and you have a certain apprehension and understanding, comprehension of someone else, and their tremendously high qualities, you will praise this person in the eyes of everyone else. That since you have gained some understanding, you wish everyone else to also have that. You have attained a certain love, and you want everyone else to attain that as well. Therefore, the second part of the command to love God is to bring all other people also to love God. That if you yourself truly have love for God, as a result of what you have attained in closeness to Him, then without any doubt you will want to bring other people closer. People who unfortunately have less knowledge and less connection to God, you will want to bring them closer to a belief in God and service of God. This the Rambam derives again from the Sifri, which again quotes the verse that you shall love God, and states that this means you should make Him beloved in the eyes of the creatures. Just like Abraham, that Avram Avinu brought many people in the land of Haran to have knowledge of Hashem. And the idea of Avram was Avram Ayavi, that Avram had love for Hashem. And as the Rambam explains, that it was Avram's tremendous love of Hashem which led to the expression of this love, that he should try to bring everyone else also closer to God. That this is one of the ways in which his love was expressed, by bringing this love to other people as well. The second commandment of today's portion is positive commandment number 4, which is the commandment of Yiras Hashem, to have fear of Hashem. This commandment derives from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 13, which states, "As Hashem Elokecha Tira, you shall fear Hashem your God." But again here, we cannot say that the commandment is literally fear or awe. There is a way to come to this fear of awe. The Rambam says that we should believe in his fear, and we should not be self-confident and self-secure, but rather we should constantly worry and think about the punishment which could come to us as a result of our misdeeds. And this is the idea of the fear, that we have an active fear in our minds, always present. We should always be thinking about the punishment which could come to us. And this is the expression of our fear. Thought is something we can have control over, although fear is not. But naturally, if a person is thinking of the misdeeds that he did and the punishment which comes along with them, he will naturally be led to an expression of fear. In Chassidic philosophy, there is a great deal of discussion on two levels of fear. Yira tata, a lower level of fear, and yira ilah, a higher level of fear or awe. This that the Rambam expresses here in Sefer HaMitzvahs is yira tata, the lower level, a fear of punishment. But in his legal code, the Rambam speaks about yira ilah, about the higher level of yira. And this is not a question literally of fear, but it is more a complete awe. And as the Rambam explains there in his legal code, that after a person meditates on the greatness of Hashem and the tremendous multiplicity and power in the creation, and the creations he has made, and the way he conducts the world, automatically a person will become ashamed in the presence of such greatness, and the tremendous revelation of such infinite capacity. A person will feel very strongly his own humility and his own smallness, and this will lead him to have a sense of shame, as a person feels shame in the presence of greatness. And this is the higher level of yira, the higher level of awe, which is what the Rambam primarily discusses in his legal code. The Rambam, as he customarily does, now proves that this commandment counts as one of the 613. And he does so by quoting a passage in the Talmudic tractate Sanhedrin, which within the context of this discussion, we will derive that this is a positive commandment. The tractate Sanhedrin there discusses a verse in the Chumash, which says that a person, b'nekev shem Hashem, a person that is nekev, Hashem's name shall be put to death. And in the discussion in the Talmud is, what does this word nekev mean? Nekev can mean one of two things. It could mean using the name, stating the name, and it could mean cursing the name. And the Talmud first says, perhaps the death penalty is incurred for merely mentioning God's name, that if a person says God's name needlessly, that he is punishable by death. And after quoting a verse in the Chumash, which shows that the word nekev could be used in such a context, the Talmud asks, how would we know that this is prohibited? And the Talmud quotes our verse, that you must fear God, implying, says the Rambam, that by mentioning God's name needlessly, not blessing his name, we are losing our fear and losing our awe for God, by merely mentioning his name, not in any holy context. So perhaps, asks the Talmud, this is the prohibition for which one is put to death. And the Talmud answers no. There are two reasons for this. First of all, we learn elsewhere from our sages that one does not incur the death penalty unless he uses God's name, saying as the Talmud interjects the names of people in order to not have to utter a curse of God, God forbid, that says, Yasi would strike Yasi. And instead of that, obviously, the person would be using the name of Hashem. And for doing such a thing, a person is put to death, says the Talmud. Therefore, we see that mere mention of God's name needlessly, although prohibited, is not punishable by death. This is one proof the Talmud brings. And the second proof is the one we're interested here. The Talmud says that you shall fear God is a positive commandment, and we only would put somebody to death for a prohibition. So since over here the prohibition that one is not allowed to needlessly mention God's name is learned by implication from the positive commandment to fear God, therefore one would not be put to death for such a statement. And therefore we learn that the word nekev is not referring to mere mention of the name of Hashem. But we see from this discussion that the Talmud said that it is a positive commandment to fear God. And from here the Rambam derives that it is a positive commandment. The last mitzvah of today's portion is positive commandment number 9, the commandment of Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of God's name. The essence of this commandment, says the Rambam, is that we are required to give up our lives if necessary in order to not deny our love and our belief in the oneness of God. Even should we be threatened with death and forced to bow down to an idol, we must rather give up our life. And even if we don't really believe, and only other people will think that we are giving up our belief in God, we are still forbidden to do so. And by even giving up our life in such a situation, we are sanctifying the name of God, making it holy throughout the world. And as the Rambam says, we are mitzuvim lafarsem das emes zuberabim. We are commanded to proclaim the true knowledge of God in the multitudes throughout the world and express it to everyone. And as the Rambam brings the source of this from the story in the prophets of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, when in the days of Nebuchadnezzar in the land of Babylon, he forced the Jews to bow down to idols. And to the great shame of the Jewish people, many of them, all of the non-Jews, and most of the Jews bowed down to the idol. This had been previously shown to the prophet Isaiah, but he was also shown in his prophetic vision that not everyone would bow down. And these were these great three, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that allowed themselves to be thrown into a furnace and sacrificed their lives rather than worship the idol. And as we are told later on, that although they were ready to give up their lives, they nevertheless were miraculously saved by God. And the mere fact that they were willing to give up their lives itself spread in a tremendously great fashion the knowledge of God throughout the world. The source of this commandment is the book of Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 32, which states, "V'nikdashti b'seich p'nei Yisrael, sanctify me among the Jewish people." And as the Rambam says, that we see from this story that the primary mitzvah is in the presence of other people in a rabbim. The Rambam quotes the Sifra, which says that this commandment is so important that it was on condition that we fulfill it that we were taken out of Egypt. The Rambam now brings a proof that this counts as a commandment from the 7th chapter of Sanhedrin, where the details of this mitzvah are discussed. There the Talmud asks that among the 7 Noahide commandments, which are incumbent upon every person in the world, is this commandment to sanctify God's name one of them? They are certainly not allowed to worship idols, but are they required to give up their life rather than do so? And the Talmud asks that it cannot be, because since there are only 7 Noahide commandments, if we counted this one, it would be 8. And we see from the context of the discussion that this commandment is only incumbent upon the Jews and not upon non-Jews, the Noahide, the Bnei Noach, all the peoples of the world. We see there from this discussion that it counts as a positive commandment for the Jew and is therefore one of the 613 commandments. There is a corresponding prohibition for this law, which we will discuss, God willing, in tomorrow's Shia.